people deeply. Been the nominee without difficulty. In fact, almost by saying I'd take it. But I'm having a very happy and successful career in the business and professional world today, and I don't desire to return to politics. I had a happy and long and fruitful career in politics, and now I'm and another. A party could not be but fragmented when it has 12 candidates for the nomination for governor. But there was no one candidate that dominated the primary. And as you probably read in the press this morning, all the contestants for the nomination, unsuccessful contestants, have now endorsed this bodes well for him and for the party. Mr. Blanton will have some difficulties. His difficulties will be with the liberal element of the party. Labor with some of the blacks, some of the intellectual community, some of the young. But Mr. Alexander may have problems with those too before the campaign is over. So it's just starting. I'm unable to make a prediction. I hope Mr. Blanton wins. I just introduced him. I'm going to campaign for him.
Is there a feeling on your part and on the part of many other active Democrats that if the Democratic Party doesn't pull itself together?
Will you answer that question again?
Is there a feeling that if the Democratic Party doesn't pull itself together in Tennessee and win this governor's race, that it's really going to be in bad shape in the future? In other words, that the Republicans are going to could well end up being the predominant party for some years to come?
Well, the governor's office is the focus of political power in the state, not that of senator or congressman. If Mr. Blanton is elected this year, Mr. Brock will be taken out 2 years later. If Mr. Blanton is not elected, then it'll be very difficult to defeat him, except he may be defeated in the Republican primary more easily. So this is a watershed. After all, it's the governor who appoints employees. It's the governor who controls the election machinery. It's the governor who lets contracts. It's the governor's office where the, as I've said, where the focus of power lies. Except for that, Mr. Alexander would not be a strong candidate this fall. But because the state administration is in the hands of the Republican governor, he will be a strong candidate. Of course, I don't have to read to tell you those primary things about politics.
Well, Mr. Blanton, when he was in Congress, was usually on the other side of the fence from you, and he on occasion attacked you. And has he done anything since the primary to warrant your support and the support of your followers, other than having been the coming out as the winner? And has he taken any positions? Or what is he doing to unify the party and to bring back the elements of the party that opposed him in the primary?
Well, yesterday he had a luncheon for far and with all those who were seeking the nomination. I'd say that's a big step toward unifying the party. Then this meeting today has been held. Quite a successful meeting.
What was the substance of this meeting today?
What's that?
What was the substance of the meeting today? Is it strictly another unity meeting?
Another unity meeting, bringing party leaders other than the contestants in the primary.
Well, we attended his press conference yesterday at the unity meeting, and one of the questions put to him was, why should he expect the support of blacks and labor based on his record? And his reply basically was, well, he thought his record reflects the interest of blacks and labor. I think that's a fair characterization.
Though he had voted for their interests while in the Congress.
Which
seemed rather curious to us.
His position wasn't that he's changed, that has a different approach to being governor than he did in Congress or anything else. It was more standing on a record that in the past has been attacked by blacks and labor and has not found favor with those groups. And I'm really trying to understand, is there anything he is doing beyond the surface things that we see toward unifying the party?
Well, I don't. This is the first time I've seen him since the primary. He's been down on the river fishing, and he's just started on his campaign of unification. And I'm unable to tell you what he has done. He called me on the telephone. Those are elementary things. And after all, the choice is Mr. Blanton or Mr. Alexander. And Mr. Alexander managed Governor Dunn's campaign, and Ken Reitz managed Mr. Brock's campaign, and they had adjacent desks in the White House. The campaign was largely financed through the Nixon Agnew thing. The Watergate apparatus was tried out in 1970 and tested in three states, in Tennessee, Maryland, and Indiana. Though I would have preferred a nominee who had a record similar to mine, that would be perfectly natural, I suppose. I did not have a candidate in the primary. I didn't choose to seek the nomination myself. Mr. Blanton has been chosen. My choice between him and Mr. Alexander, and I unhesitatingly support Mr. Blanton.
When you referred to Mr. Alexander as coming out of the Nixon-Agnew School, are you referring to his activities in the 1970 campaign?
He was an aide in the White House, too.
Right. But didn't he leave the White House about that time?
I think that's true, yes. He came to Tennessee to manage Governor Dunn's campaign, as I understand it. Mr. Reitz came to manage Mr. Brock. But this campaign will be over before you write your chapter on Tennessee, will it not?
Right.
I know, but see, if you're right that this election is a watershed, we're also trying to think ahead what might happen in the state's politics.
Well, of course, 1970 was even more of a watershed. Right.
Can we talk about that one a little bit, and maybe your 2020 hindsight as to what happened in that 1970 campaign?
Well, as you know, you've said you've read my book. You know what I've said about that.
No, I have not read the book yet. I plan to read it.
Well, I have a whole chapter on that.
Well, let me just ask you this question. Have you had any, since you wrote the book, have you had any additional thoughts on it?
Not particularly. It's what I wrote still holds up.
When you think about Tennessee and the other southern states, the Republican Party has been able to build and be successful at the statewide level and in the state legislature in this state. No other place in the South has this occurred. At the statewide level, though, they've been that successful.
Well, as you will see when you have a chance to look at the book I wrote, Tennessee differs from Georgia, for instance. We have always had here a very strong Republican foothold in East Tennessee. The state is one of three grand divisions. Some people even call it three states. Physical barriers separating East, Middle, and West. In East Tennessee, you had overwhelming support for the North, the Union, and the Civil War. It's that old. All sorts of federal pensions up there for the last 100 years from the Civil War. It's strong. It's the first congressional district in Tennessee, the old Carol Reese district, is the most predominantly, percentage-wise, the strongest Republican congressional district in the United States. The second congressional district has never had a Democratic congressman. The third congressional district is, for a large part of the time, has been Republican. So in that whole end of the state, you had a very strong, virulent, ideological, reactionary Republican majority and tremendous majorities. Then the Democratic sections of the state, or Middle Tennessee, largely Democratic, though there are a number of Republican counties in Middle Tennessee. Wherever you find hills and mountains, you find Republicans. That's not only true, as you know, in Tennessee, it's true in Alabama and Georgia and a few in Mississippi. Kentucky. The strongest Democratic allegiance in the state was in the West. When Boss Crump controlled Memphis, it voted with
attention, please.
One voice.
Mary Sasser. Mary Sasser, come to the front desk, please.
Breakaway from the Democratic Party. It started in 1948 when Crump supported the Dixiecrat ticket. This grew. It became very acute with the civil rights legislation and came to almost a mass conversion with the murder of Martin Luther King and the racial strife that followed. You know, the marches, demonstrations. So what you have had has been a merging of the traditional Republican minority with the so-called Dixiecrat element of the Democratic Party, largely in West, which has in 1970 and 1972 constituted a new majority in the state. This is being challenged and tested now. And you can write your chapter after you see the result. Now, of course, it was challenged in 1970. And though I did not win, I received the largest vote of any Democrat in the history of the state, win or lose. I ran an unabashed liberal campaign. Mr. Blanton ran in 1972. With a conservative campaign. The results were not very encouraging, but he ran when Nixon and Agnew were at their top and when George McGovern was carrying the Democratic banner. So, to what effect that whittled him down, I don't know. But at any event, Mr. Blanton is from West Tennessee, has long had the allegiance of and support of many people who have left the party on occasion. Perhaps he can bring them back into the party or hold them in the party. We shall see.
Is that coalition of Eastern Republicans and Republicans in the West basically
May
Dixiecrats?
I have your attention, please, Mr. Otto
basically
Bash.
Dixiecrats, you say. Is that thing
Mr.
held
Otto
together
Bash,
by race? What, is the racial issue important in holding that coalition together?
Well,
Western Dixiecrat Democrats and Eastern Republicans. Is race still an issue that helps to hold that together?
It's the cement. It's the cement. For a deep emotional issue. But I've written the whole book about it, so.
What I was trying to, you know, if that's the case, do you see that continuing in the future? That holding together based on that, principally on that issue.
I don't think racism plays the part in politics intended today that it has in the past. Plays in some parts of the country than it ever has. In Boston. what's the contest?
Mr. Jim Sasser, would you please come to the front desk?
That's what it's all about. I can't ask you.
If he loses, would you expect him to be the last Democratic nominee for governor or senator who can get the Democratic nomination with that sort of image, conservative image?
Oh, I couldn't say that. Suppose you had another race when there are 12 candidates. Say Mr. Blanton was nominated with 22 or 23% of the vote. With this kind of a split up, it might be either if there are three liberals running and two conservatives, or vice versa, you might have entirely different results.
If there were a runoff primary law, would that help strengthen the Democratic Party?
Yes.
How would it do that?
Well, it would certainly give to a nominee majority support of his party by the very process of winning a runoff. This certainly puts one, I think, in a stronger position than to represent a minority. But we don't have a runoff. We, unfortunately, I believe it was Governor Dunn who vetoed it in the interest of the Republican Party.
Did you give any serious thought at all to making that race this year?
No. I don't want you to quote this. I'm having fantastic success in the business and professional world. And it is quite challenging and rejuvenating. Exciting. Interesting. The start at an age, different careers in both law and business, at an age when most men are forced to retire, and then have most gratifying success. So I've had a political attitude, that, and it is my attitude now, was then. I've had a political career, a long, a happy, and a fruitful one. I went out of public life, not as I would have chosen. I would have chosen to serve another term and retire. But second only to that, I went out as I liked to go out, with my guns blazing, putting up a hell of a fight for the things I believed in. And I now stand in the state I really think I can say I'm more popular in Tennessee now than I've ever been in all my career. But I don't wish to return to politics, having had that career.
Does that mean you've ruled out in any race to return to the Senate also?
Yes. If I had designs to return to the Senate, then the course for me would have been to run for governor this year and run for the Senate as governor. But I don't wish to return to the Senate.
What would have to happen for Tennessee to go Democratic again in a presidential election?
Perhaps an economic, serious economic recession.
You think then conditions will be more of a determinant than personality?
Yes. There must be conditions that would
end interview Senator Albert Gore. No more transcription, this tape.